And hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is the Week in Review.
Yeah, with the COVID.
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question.
High above Earth's atmosphere, two astronauts are waiting to find out when they can return home.
What a week. Joe Biden stumbles and mumbles. Boeing strands two astronauts in space and Jill Biden's Evita moment. It's been a wild week of headlines. So, hey, let's break it down. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Let's do it. All right, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite guests and golf partners. He's good enough to share with us his unbridled perspective on the week's news, and what a week it has been. My goodness, talk about historic. I introduce you now to Dr. Wilmer Leon. He is the host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, and he's good enough to join us. Wow, all right, let's get going. For months, this show, me, this newscaster, this presenter, however you want to view me, has been commenting on the president's physical and mental state. And while we reported on obvious examples, like what we witnessed at the G7, we, me, and others like me were called exaggerators, liars, provocateurs of fake videos. Then came this.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare, and I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
I don't think he knows what he said either. If ever truer words have been spoken, I would like to hear them. I think when Mr. Trump said that, he was speaking for the entire world. Dr. Wilmer Leon, to you, sir.
First of all, Donald Trump's facial expressions were incredibly funny. He was seriously perplexed. Like you, I have been saying for more than a year that Joe Biden was not going to be the Democrats' nominee. And that the issue here, one of the things that I find really interesting is a lot of folks are putting this in the context as though that debate was the starting point for this issue. But we have been looking at cognitive decline, and the operative term there is decline. And so now you have people waxing poetic and longing for the good old days of the State of the Union in February. Mm-hmm. But because they're saying, we want State of the Union, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, look, there's another there's another debate scheduled for September. You'll be longing for June, Joe.
Yeah,
June debate, Joe.
Because it
in
gets
September.
Worse. Yeah.
It does not get better.
And by the way, he still can read a teleprompter quite well. He just gave a speech this week on the Supreme Court decision, and I thought he handled that teleprompter pretty well. But, you know, with enough time, you can train a chimpanzee to read a teleprompter well. That is not something which is in any way a measure of your cognitive skills. It's simply a measure of something which, you know, we all learned to do when we were in grammar school. So that's the difference. The other thing here, which really almost kind of irks me a little bit, is the media all of a sudden. So now the media, the White House staff, and others who said people like you and I were crazy, who said the president was as fit as a fiddle and as sharp as a tack, have now turned like this on a dime. And they're acting as if, oh, yeah, no, they knew all along. And now there's the one saying Biden needs to be replaced. Here, take a look.
If he were CEO, and he turned in a performance like that, would any corporation in America, any Fortune 500 corporation in America, keep him on as CEO? We saw last night why this race has been close, and why I fear Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States unless things change.
He didn't do well at all. He did not do well at all. We're still far from our convention, and there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that.
It kind of pains me to say this today, but I think President Biden needs to step down and be replaced.
There is a conversation happening inside Biden's circle, and certainly a much more frank conversation happening inside the Democratic coalition. Conversations range from whether he should be in this race tomorrow morning to what was wrong with him.
Maybe he needs to go. Maybe he needs to be honest with himself and the American people. He can bow out at this time with grace and dignity. He has a record he can be proud of.
He believes that he is the only person that can do it. The problem is, after tonight, his party doesn't believe that.
I'll be honest with you. I was not shocked or surprised by Mr. Biden's performance during the debate, but I was a little shocked and surprised to hear this as I stayed up late that night to hear what they were going to say on places like MSNBC and CNN. And collectively and uniformly, they came out and said, Joe must go. Were you surprised?
I was surprised at how quickly they flipped.
Yeah.
But that's a major problem with a lot of our mainstream media. I say all the time, you can't compromise for the sake of political expediency on the front end and then try to claim the moral high ground on the back end. That's inconsistent. You have been saying for a very long time, there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. I have been saying for a very long time, there's something wrong here. And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So I say to them, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if I was to show you, and I'm sure you've seen this because you do this for a living, if I was to show you pictures of Joe Biden or videos of Joe Biden 4 years ago, videos of Joe Biden 2 years ago, videos of Joe Biden six, you will literally see the decline. So you'd have to be either stupid or you just don't want to see some things, you know? My mother used to say that. They say nobody is more blind than he who chooses not to see. Well, she's right. And in this case, I think that kind of describes some of these folks. So now, here's where we are. There's a collective panic that has not let up, by the way. Some people said, oh, this will be over by tomorrow. Both the Democratic Party and the media fearing a historic defeat in November, which, by the way, is coming. They're now begging for Joe Biden to step down because they've looked at the polls. The polls are horrible. I mean, horrible, atrocious. But you know who doesn't want that to happen? First Lady Jill Biden. Strangely enough, this woman has turned into Evita Peron all of a sudden. She's having her Desdemona moment. This is truly Shakespearean. Jill Biden. By the way, here she is on the cover of Vogue. Did you see this? Put her up there, Victor. There she is. Here she is on the cover of Vogue. Jill Biden was probably hoping her husband had a great debate, would beat Trump like he did 4 years ago, and instead he embarrassed himself, but she would come out, then she would be on the cover of Vogue. Everything was going to be perfect, magical, mystique. That makes Jill Biden now look especially bad, though. I don't know if you saw this, but I'm going to show something to you now, Wilmer, that this is sad to watch. We're all going to watch it together, but it really is tough to watch. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie!
You know, my colleague Manila told me the other day that when she watched that video, it reminded of what it was like when she was potty training her children. I thought, I know, but... You know, good
I get it.
Boy, poopies, cool. Well done. Good poopies. It's like, oh, my God, don't do that. And she seems to be basking in this moment, and it's not a good look.
It's a horrible look, and she's right. Donald Trump lied. Donald Trump's performance was horrendous. It was terrible.
But who cares? Nobody knows.
It was Trumpian. It was Trumpian as only Trumpian can be. But that got overwhelmed by Joe Biden's poor performance and the discussion about his golf swing. How did we get Joe talked about his,
yeah,
talking about handicap when one of them really is handicapped.
Right.
She had to lead him off the stage.
Yeah.
The same way former President Obama, the week before, had to lead him off the stage in Los Angeles.
And by the way, I'm not taking sides here. This is not a political statement. This is a factual statement because I've been on a golf course with the former president. He actually is a good golfer.
I have read that. I've heard he does have an eraser on the other tip of his end of his pencil. Right.
Well, let me rephrase it. He has a good golf swing. How's that?
Okay.
He has a very good golf. I do not think. I may be wrong, but I do not think that Joe Biden has a good golf swing at this point in his life. Just saying.
I don't see how he could get there from here.
All right, look, there's so much going on. Other stories, and there still may be some things to talk about with this. But let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking as well about some of the things that are going on with Boeing, for example. And then did you see what happened in France? You think Biden's having a tough time. Macron's also having his own issues. We're going to take that on. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, by the way. My name is Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. This is the show we do every week. It's called our weekly roundup or the weekend review. I'm joined today by one of my favorite guests, Dr. Wilmer Leon, who's also a purveyor of and a student of current events, topics, and information. And now we're going to get to a topic which I think is very close to you. And I think because of the way this is now playing out, it's close to me. I mean, I'm a Hispanic American. You're an African American. We bring a little bit of a different perspective to some things. Not that different, but different enough to be able to understand stories like this one. This is Kamala Harris. And this is interesting how this has been playing out for Kamala Harris. Apparently, according to all reports that have come out within the last 48 hours, she and her staff are furious. She's furious. She feels she's being snubbed. She and her surrogates and supporters are angry that she's not being considered the top choice to replace Mr. Biden and that she's being forced to play, you know, second, third, or fourth fiddle to Michelle Obama and Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer, who are being mentioned way ahead of her by everybody, by the way. But there seems to be some legitimate reasons, by the way, for her dismissal. Let's be fair. Her poll numbers are really bad. I mean, as bad as Mr. Biden's poll numbers, in some cases, worse. Nonetheless, her team has reached out to Politico, and they're trying to make an argument for her. And this is one of the quotes that they put out to Politico, which, I don't know. I want to get your perspective on this, Dr. Wilmer. Here's the quote from one of her loyalists. Let's put it up, I think, if we got it. There it is. It says, "This is so offensive to so many of us." It goes on to say, "They still don't get that the message that they're sending to people, to the Democratic Party, is we prefer a white person." So is this about racism? I've got one more video I'm going to show you on this Kamala Harris, but I want to stop right now and ask you, what's your reaction to that quote that apparently is coming from somebody on her team?
Well, I believe the Democratic Party does prefer a white person. I think that's true.
Yeah. So is America.
There you go. But that's not why Kamala Harris is not at the top of the list. She's not at the top of the list. Let's start with when she ran for president. And she didn't get 4% of the vote. She was the first person to drop out.
Yeah.
She's a horrible candidate. A wonderful human being. Mm-hmm. But we're talking politics, not personality here. And politically, she's not at the... I could say it a whole lot of different... She's pandering to herself.
Mm.
And that, to me, is a very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous delusional mindset.
I'm glad you said that, because what you're going after here, I think the word you may be looking for, or if I could help you, I'm seeing a lack of authenticness in her. And I've been seeing this since she's been in the White House. Maybe mm-hmm. it's because she's been looking for her place, looking for her role, but she's always looked like she's having a hard time fitting in. You know, unlike the Clinton example or the Obama example, which they always look comfortable in their own skin. You may hate their politics, but they always look comfortable. She's never looked comfortable to me. So now I got something else for you. Look at this. She and her team have just put out this video where she's speaking in a very urban accent, complete with grammatically incorrect phrases, which seems to me to be anyway somewhat insulting to African Americans. I don't like when people do that with me as a Hispanic. I'm sure Asians don't like it. Southerners from Alabama don't like it. But again, I think, and you watch it, tell me what you think, this makes her look very inauthentic. Here it is.
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. And let me tell you, you're right, Taraji. There is so much at stake in this moment. The majority of us believe in freedom and equality. But these extremists, as they say, they not like us.
No, they not.
They not like us, and I'm out here on the streets? What streets is she out on, Wilmer? And who, why not say they are not like us? Why they not like us? Like, she doesn't talk like that normally, does she?
She's out on the rough and tumble streets of Massachusetts Avenue, upper northwest Washington, where the millionaires are, because that's where the observatory is where she lives.
Right.
Again,
yeah,
you're pandering to yourself. And I think you're absolutely right. She does not understand within herself where she fits in. And she sees herself as a square peg trying to fit into a round hole,
mm-hmm.
where just be yourself, do you, as they say. And see, I'm trying to throw a little hip vernacular
but
fit in too.
But you know, man, I got to tell you something. I'll just share this because you and I are friends and we played golf together and we've gotten to know each other pretty good. I started getting decent at my craft, at this thing that we're doing right now, just talking in front of a camera to possibly millions of people. You know when I stopped getting good, when I started to get good at this? When I stopped trying to be an anchor or a news presenter, and I just decided, I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to share who I am, and if people like me, great, and if they don't, tough. And she hasn't come to that.
The greatest advice I received was from one of my dear mentors, Tom Porter, when I first got offered a position. And I said, what do I do, Tom? Because he's had a career in radio. He said, Wilmer, be yourself. The audience detects fraud in a heartbeat. If you can't do this being who you are, you're doing the wrong thing.
Which is fascinating. One more thing about her. She doesn't have the problems that Joe Biden has, right? Joe Biden is old. Joe Biden has physical problems and mental problems. She has none of those things. She's a very attractive person, all things considered, carries herself well. And yet the audience that is measured every time they ask about her thinks exactly the same of her as they think of Joe Biden. They might actually be thinking better of Joe Biden. What does that tell you? When you got everything and they're still seeing you as there's something that ain't clicking there, they're seeing something that you need to work on. That's the point.
Because she understands very clearly that she's in over her head. She does not have a command of the subject matter.
Yeah.
And she is not a student of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because one of the knocks on her is she doesn't do her homework. And that comes from her staff. And that then when she gets exposed for being vulnerable, for not having studied for the exam, then she gets mad at them for not preparing her. She doesn't get mad at herself for not being prepared.
That is another great point about this business or any business where you have to be in front of people. You become comfortable when you have done the work because it's the preparation that gives you the comfort. All right, enough teaching all our good secrets, us two old guys, to all these young people watching. All right, another top Western leader appears to be needing some advice. He's going down in flames politically as well, it looks like. Take a look at these pictures. This is impressive stuff. This is Paris, France. Go. Those are tens of thousands of people gathered at Place de la République in Paris as the polls closed and Marine Le Pen's national rally party dominated the first round of the legislative elections in France, signaling really a repudiation, there's no other way of saying it, of Emmanuel Macron's policies, including his aggressive pro-war positions all over the world in the South Pacific, where we've done stories, the Middle East, the South China Sea, perhaps worst of all, suggesting that he wants to send French troops into Ukraine to fight against Russia. I mean, these are the things that I think a lot of these people are saying, hell no, this guy's crazy. We're going to vote for somebody else. And they seem to be saying, I know there's another election coming, and that's going to be the ultimate arbiter of this. But I think he's being sent a very serious message, as are a lot of people in Europe and in the United States these days.
Yes, because France is just another example of what's happening to Rishi Sunak in Britain, how we got Maloney in Italy, what's going on with Ursula von der Leyen in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
What we are seeing is neoliberalism is dying. Neoliberalism is dying, and now people are turning to the right as its savior. And here in the West, when I say to the right, people need to understand that right politics in Europe is a little different than right politics in the West.
Yeah, yeah.
But the standard of living is on the decline in France. The standard of living is on the decline in Germany. It's on the decline in Britain. It's on the decline in Italy. And folks aren't happy.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch as this develops, and suddenly you've got new coalitions being formed by people like Viktor Orban in Hungary, for example, who are more like a Marine Le Pen than they are anything like a Macron or any of the other leaders that are leading some of these so-called G7 nations. So, yeah, there's a real change that's happening right now in our world, and we better wake up and pay attention to it over here as well. Although, unfortunately, here in the United States, most people don't even see it. And when you talk to them about things like the Global South, they look at you like, what the hell is that? Here's another big story about a company that's been in the news and continues to be. In fact, wow, talk about a rough week. Boeing. I mean, these guys cannot stay out of the headlines. They can't seem to do anything that doesn't attract negative attention. Even now, their private space business is a problem. Watch this.
Tonight, high above Earth's atmosphere, two astronauts are waiting to find out when they can return home.
Let's go forward into Starliner.
At the time, NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore gave this tour of Boeing's Starliner, docked since June 6th at the International Space Station, they thought they'd only be there for days.
Just super happy to be here on the International Space Station.
But now, after a series of delays, a planned 10-day mission has become a weeks-long stay, with a return date unknown.
They're also being told this week they have to settle a deal where 350 people died in air crashes from their 737 MAX plane crashes. Also, one of their planes on the way from Europe to Latin America apparently had a mishap. It went into a nosedive. About 30 people had to be hospitalized. I mean, what a week for Boeing. It just keeps getting worse. What's with these people?
Well... Also, what's with government oversight? Because where are the not investigators, but the folks that are supposed to go in and oversee
the
manufacturing process,
the regulators. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. But so if you've got a problem making airplanes, I think you'll have a problem making spaceships. and to say that. They're not stuck.
Yeah.
We just don't know when we can get them back. You're not stuck at the airport in Cleveland. You're at the International Space Station in orbit. It's a helium. One of the problems has to do with helium leaks. That's not a good sign.
They say they're going to be able to get them down. We got 30 seconds. Just let me ask you. Do you think Biden will survive the next week, the next time you and I talk? We'll be talking about former candidate Biden? Or do you think
I'll give him 10 days. They're talking about moving the nominating process up to the 21st of July. I'll give him 10 days.
Yeah, the news gets worse every day. The polls get worse every day. The donors' money dries up more every day, and more members of the Senate and the House who are Democrats are saying, hey, you're screwing with us now because we're going to go down because of you, and we're not going to let that happen. That's what it seems like to me. But we're going to watch it. Who knows? Listen, Joe Biden's in charge right now, so we'll just wait and see what happens with Evita. My friend, thank you so much. Great, great conversation. Hit him straight, and we'll talk to you again soon. That's our show. Remember to always be looking outside your own box. We like to think around here that truths don't live in boxes. That's why we do what we do the way we do it. I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you next time.